Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Great Call Banks is brought to you by Tri-State Kia Dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com. Discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles. By Foxwoods Resort Casino, the wonder of it all. And by York Install Confidence, the two-time Super Bowl champion, number 58, of course, in your program, the Great Carl Banks. Carl, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'll be better after, you know,
Can I give you probably a little more anxiety? But
Oh, my God. You're going to give me more anxiety than I have already?
This is the you keep saying the most important pick of – You know, the Jets, right. getting a coach is right. Yep. You have to get that right. I will say to you, the Jets can't be like shopping with your wife, where they can't make up their mind and they know what they want, but they need to look around. Here's the reason why. If McCarthy's your guy, you better go get him now.
I'm 100% with you.
Because apples to apples. Both teams got quarterback the same age. Both quarterbacks
about
are good.
Cleveland now.
Yeah.
Right.
Both quarterbacks are good, right? I think, I know the Browns have better receivers.
The Browns are a better team right now.
Talent in some key areas. Both teams have talent in key areas, especially on defense with the Jets. But the guy is from the Midwest. He was born in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, I know.
Western PA.
I
mean?
Yeah,
sure,
no, I know. So
if it's an apples to apples deal, you know, when you tell your wife, just pick it, let's go. We got to go.
Never works out.
You got to tell McCagnan right now. It's no sense in shopping around and thinking you can always come back or it's going to be on sale. You better get it now.
Well, what if you're waiting
for my feeling.
John Harbaugh? Which, I mean, it's possible.
There's one definite right now.
That's it. That's why I agree with a call on that.
You understand what I'm saying? There's one definite that you and a few other teams are attractive to him. Harbaugh will have whatever, you know, happens after the season. It's open right now, and you don't even know if he's going to be back.
May not.
Because they have things to consider, too. Is he the right coach for this new hybrid quarterback that they have? And who is his replacement? You know, so they may be better off with him. The team is responding to him.
John is a part of this because he only has 1 year left on his deal. And if he says to the Ravens, I want $10 million a year, I've earned $10 million a year, they're not going to let him coach.
The guy who makes $10 million a year didn't earn $10 million a year.
I understand that, but that doesn't stop John from asking for it.
Well, yeah, and that would tell, and Bashotti would say, that doesn't make me as dumb as Davis either.
But here's the point. So Bashotti doesn't give it to him. He's not going to bring him back on a lame duck deal, so now he's going to move John.
Listen,
he's going to get rid of him.
Hey, John, if you can get $10 million somewhere else, God bless you, and the Jets better not pay you $10
million. Why not? It's just money.
Yeah, it's just money. Yeah, okay.
Well, it's not my money. It's partially our money.
Let me take that back. Let me take that back.
What?
He is worth whatever someone's willing
exactly.
to pay.
Exactly.
I take that back.
And Carl, there's no salary cap on coaches.
Right. I 100% take that back.
So who cares?
He's worth whatever someone's willing to pay him, because if McCarthy wanted the job today and it took $10 million to get him,
yeah,
I'd pay him that.
And this is different than the salary cap where we're arguing, hey,
yeah,
I like this guy, but I got to fit under the cap.
Right.
It's a coach.
Listen, they're all worth whatever a team is willing to pay them. I just say, if McCarthy's your guy, which I think personally he should be, because I think this team needs an adult coaching this young quarterback, someone who can impart wisdom, not just theory, if you will. You want a quarterback to grow with his coach. That's a beautiful thing, right? But in the position, the unique position that the Jets are in, they have a ton of money. They need to make right decisions in free agency. They have to make right decisions with this next top draft pick. They need an adult coaching this young quarterback.
So you're endorsing Mike McCarthy wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
I just think the situation is right for him. But I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't be that guy shopping with his wife with this guy.
You want him, go get him.
Go get him.
That's what Joe's basically saying.
That's it.
Don't mess
I've
around.
I've been saying that. And look, I love Harbaugh, but I can't – when I got a definite, I can't worry about the if, you know?
Right.
And that's how I look at it.
And the thing about
even though
it,
I like Harbaugh better, I still.
I understand.
Because I know the Jets don't wind up with neither of them.
It's a risk.
Of course.
It's a risk.
I don't dislike Harbaugh for anything. He's a great coach. I think the advantage that McCarthy has in terms of, and I could be wrong on this, but in terms of imparting top-level quarterback wisdom, he's been around it.
I agree.
He's coached it.
You know what I think John is? This is the way I look at him. I think he's the CEO. I think he comes in and he's going to hire the right people underneath him. I think then maybe Kingsbury is on the staff.
I think Harbaugh is – the thing I love about Harbaugh is similar to what I love about Bill Belichick. They started off at the bottom of the coaching rank.
Right.
You build a team. Mm-hmm. He's a hell of a special teams coach.
Yeah,
he worked his way up.
Yeah.
He understands the importance of every phase of football. That means he's going to coach every phase of it. He's going to make every part of it important. He will know when you're weak in some area, another area's got to pick you up and be complimentary. That's what I love about him.
You know, every coach starts from one phase of the ball, right? You think of Rex Ryan as a defensive coach. Pat Shermer's an offensive coach. I think you've really made it as a head coach when you forget. You forgot where they even came from.
Yeah.
They're just a coach. Mm. Bill Belichick. I mean, think about Bill Belichick's offenses that he's had over years. People forget where he came from.
Sure.
You guys won't forget because you lived it, but like people forget.
Right.
That's greatness right there.
Before that, he was a special teams guy.
Right.
There's something to be said about a guy who can rise from the ranks of special teams, coordinator to head coach. And I don't know the stats. Somebody would probably have to tell me, but I would bet you that the Ravens special teams are amongst, I would say, top 10 in the league every year, because I'm sure he keeps an emphasis on that. He's always had a decent kicker. I think he is an excellent candidate. The difference to me is that McCarthy and quarterbacks, and people say, well, he hated Aaron Rodgers hated him or whatever. Well, guess what? They won together.
Took 13 years for them to hate each other.
Yeah, exactly. They had a lot of success together.
Right.
So
it wasn't with him 13 years, but however long he was with them.
Yeah. I mean, so.
Not that far off.
No, it's close.
A decade.
No,
yeah.
It's close.
Yeah.
Sure.
So
sure.
That's important.
Well, look,
that's
Carl, you know my feeling,
Carl.
In
the growth of a quarterback and, you know, having an adult coach your quarterback and has, you know, experience and wisdom, expertise at that position. And again, I have nothing against the young whiz kids. This ain't the job for them, in my opinion, because you got theory, you've got exciting energy and personality, and you got these offensive schemes that are just lighting the league on fire until you run into a little adversity, and then what? Can you coach your way out of it? Because the Rams coach is still trying to explain how he's gonna fix things for his young quarterback. He had two rough games. It's like, well, I haven't done enough. Mm. You know, I failed my quarterback. No, you need a guy who says, well, I've seen that. I've done that. You know, I've been around some of these types of things.
You have broadcasted a lot of Mike McCarthy postseason games. I mean, think about how many times the Giants have played the Packers in the postseason at Lambeau.
Three,
in the last
right?
decade. Three times.
And they lost, and they won twice against
them.
They
lost the one.
They beat Favre and Rodgers.
Yep.
That's right.
Right.
So you've seen this coach. What have you thought about him? When broadcasting him as an opponent and watching every decision he makes in these postseason games, what has been your impression of Mike McCarthy, the play caller?
Well, let's boil it down beyond just the playoffs, because those are one-game eliminations.
Sure.
He's lost one by a kick. So you can question play calling, but, you know, the Giants got a possession. They kick a winning field goal, right?
After a big interception by Favre.
Yeah. So
Corey Webster.
Yep.
Exactly. So I think he's a hell of a play caller. I think his success speaks for itself.
So the game hasn't passed him by. I'm listening to critiques of Mike McCarthy's play calling.
Okay.
He's old. It's vanilla.
Vanilla, and he's a victim of someone else picking his groceries. And he's not had the best rosters and made the most of them. But when he's had good skill position players, what has he done? He and his quarterback has set the league on fire. They've been very productive. When he doesn't have playmakers, he becomes very vanilla because you can't do as much. So I like him. I like him for the Jets because of his age and his experience.
Experience is a good thing
young
sometimes.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like I said, I have nothing against the young coaches, and if the Jets end up with one, good luck.
Yeah, great. We'll be talking about this 4 years from now, about who the new guy is going to be.
But if there's a match, I think he is that guy. I think
Carl.
I think just because of his experience. But again, you got to go tell – you got to treat McKagan like you're going shopping.
Well, here's the one thing I would say.
With your wife. Let's go.
I'm sure, look, they obviously – look, here's the bottom line. The Jets hate me. They hate me because I tell it like it is about their woebegone, crappy franchise. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. Mike McKagan is sitting there now knowing that if you blow it with this head coach, you're gone. You're out. The next one, he goes with him. Right?
But
am I right?
Carl? Yes, you're absolutely right. And there's no guarantees in anything, but I'd love to hedge my bet with a guy I know who can coach.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right. If you're McKagan based on that, which I agree with, why McCarthy would be the easy choice.
Of course.
He's the safest coaching candidate out there.
Yes.
But he's not only the safest, he's one of the best.
Well, he has a track record.
That speaks for itself.
The guy with a track record that's pretty good, and I'm not in love with it, Joe's brought him up, is Jim Caldwell, in that.
It's not terrible.
He coached a team to a Super Bowl. Okay. Now, he took over Tony Dungy's team, still got to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then in Detroit, 3 of the 4 years.
He gets fired after a playoff win.
Was it? No, I think it was 9-7.
No, they didn't make it.
But he did make the playoffs twice with the Lions.
He had a pretty good run in Detroit. Meanwhile, Matt Patricia, who looked like a debacle there after 1 year, still has a job. But his resume is a good resume. I'd be the first to admit it. And he's been an offensive coordinator before. And I guess apparently he was consulting for the XFL this year, which is.
Was he?
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. I don't know what he's consulting.
Well, they must have thrown some money at him.
I'm sure. But what do you think of him? Because Joe's brought him up.
I like him. He's quiet, unassuming, but organized. His players like him. Everyone that has played for him, the teams that he's had. So, but he's not sexy. And that's where.
No, he's not sexy. Definitely
not. A lot of people just don't. He flies under your radar. He's, you know, like you guys were saying earlier, every coach has something on their. On their track record that's a blemish, a bad mistake or something like that. But he's an adult. He will run the organization the way it should be run. He's a professional, and he's a good coach. So I wouldn't rule him out as a top candidate.
He's got a lot of interviews. I mean, he's interviewing with
he's good.
Three
I mean,
teams,
listen,
I think.
Yeah.
He's a mature coach. He understands it, and he'll get his teams to play.
You know, am I comparing?
It's kind of the Dungy tree type thing,
sure.
You know, quiet, unassuming mm-hmm. about their business.
I'm not comparing him to Caldwell. Caldwell's done a lot more, but Bill Callahan takes over for John Gruden in Oakland, and they get to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He is a coach who coached a team to a Super Bowl. That's on his resume. Follows that up with a bad year, never gets another head coaching job. As a longtime offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. So sometimes when a guy gets there, like Caldwell did with other coaches, players, mm-hmm. it's almost a tarnish on their resume because Callahan, think about that. This is a guy who coaches in his first year a team to the Super Bowl.
Caldwell did do something with another team.
You're
though.
Right. No, because he got another chance.
Right.
Yeah.
Joe Callahan never got another chance.
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I don't think the Jets should be second chance you. For a guy who's just hasn't established a track record.
Like Adam Gase.
Oh, my
Listen,
God. That they're even talking to
he
Adam
leaves,
Gase.
He leaves
makes me
the
sick.
Miami Dolphins.
Sick.
Let me just.
Go ahead.
Sick.
There should be, like, this list of never mind.
Right, of course.
You know.
Call.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Yeah, never mind.
Right.
Yeah, never mind. Never. Good luck to him, but never mind. Here are my guys. Here are my guys, and then we'll take a look at the never minds.
Right.
Later, if none of these guys pan out, but I'm gonna put my energy and effort in a guy that I'm not playing charity. This is not charity football. This is not, you know, build your resume football. We are in a position, meaning the Jets, to really turn the fortunes of this franchise for the next 15 years. You know,
you sound like me, Carl. You sound like me.
A calmer version of you.
Yeah,
but like, and listen, if folks feel Gase needs a second chance, good for him.
Arizona.
Yeah, Denver.
You know, I don't think Denver. I think Denver wants him. I think that's probably where Carl will end up. But He just left Miami.
And half his players hated him.
Really? Yeah. Go with what you know. Nothing against what you don't know, but you need an adult with this young quarterback.
Yeah, I think this is the – I agree with you. I think this hire at this moment in time and this point in history is in need of a guy with experience. I agree with you. No, I'm – Joe and I agree on that.
You know, you don't hire a kid out of college to run, you know, a Fortune 500 company. You might put him on the staff and say you're being groomed for CEO, but this one, you need a sure thing. You just cannot – and when I talk about sure thing, I'm talking about track record, proven track record.
I think you're right.
It's just – and he'll put together a great staff.
Right.
They'll be stable. There'll be strong messaging from the podium, and it will resonate down to his team. I'm of the opinion because he's a Midwest guy, and you let Cleveland start, you know, really – digging in on him, you're going to probably lose out. I think you make your move now.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if Cleveland identifies him as their number one choice. They may not.
Oh, they may play possum on that one.
They may.
Well, they're saying McDaniel right now, right?
Yeah, okay.
Enamored with right. Josh
no,
McDaniel.
No. Oh, okay. Call. Yeah, Paul, you listen, could not have said it better than I have been screaming. I've been screaming it since they fired him in Green Bay.
Fond of Josh McDaniel. But if they want Josh and you have a chance for Mike McCarthy – I see you got your guy.
I get it. What do you think happened in the hard conversation between Gettleman and Eli Manning when Eli was taking him down low in the post, Eddie Curry style?
Eddie Curry style, I'll tell you that.
Is that the name you bring up?
You know what? I think there's a reason I thought of Eddie Curry today. Can I tell you the reason?
Eddie Curry went in the post was to eat.
I thought of Eddie Curry today because there's a guy on Twitter, and I wish I had his name because he deserves credit, who created an Eddie Curry trade tree. Which meant all the fallout of the Eddie Curry trade. Like, who was used, who was picked, who was traded.
Oh, God.
Cameron Payne of the Chicago Bulls. You know Cameron Payne? He got released the other day. Or got traded. Whatever happened. That ended the Eddie Curry trade. It is finally over after a decade and a half.
Eddie Curry.
And I give that guy credit because he creates this big Eddie Curry tree. You see all the pieces, all the branches. So he was in my brain. So my apologies for bringing him up to you guys.
I think they probably had frank conversations. I'm sure... when they discussed his future, Eli probably made the case if he had less than an ideal situation to work from behind center. And I'm sure Dave Gettleman probably told him they're going to explore all options because you're 38 years old.
You think he said that?
And I'm sure he did. And I'm sure Eli's probably said, yeah, I know I'm getting older. I just need to know if, you know, what the future is, if there's something that I should plan on not being here next year. And he probably said to Eli, you know, we're going to evaluate the film. And he probably told him what he saw, which was somewhat encouraging. He probably said, I think you can do it. Like he said in his press conference and his coach said, I still think you can still play at a high level, but I'm not going to rule out the future of the Giants. And I'm sure Eli understood that, but, you know, he probably told Dave, you can't do this to me again. I want to play here, but I can't be under these type of circumstances or conditions.
As in the better offensive line play, you mean?
Yeah. We got to start the season with better. I understand people get hurt, things of that nature, but we just started the season with just a horrendous offensive line. It took half the year to do it. So, I'm sure that those are the types of discussions that general managers and franchise quarterbacks have. I don't think it was contentious. I'm sure Dave told him, hey, I would be neglectful in my job if I told you you're my quarterback for the next 5 years or even the next 2 years. And I'm sure Eli said, yep, I understand that. But I just need to know, do I have a future? Do I have an opportunity here? And he'll say, I'll evaluate it, but – from what we've seen, there are some things you can do. And that's probably as much as he left it. And he can see, listen, at 38, he's saying, there's only so much I can commit to until I get the rest of the future set. I can't tell you you're my guy. He said, he can tell you I love you.
Right.
I think you played hard for us and you did some things in some adverse situations. But until I know what the field is, which is fair when you're talking to a 38-year-old quarterback.
Of course, they have to find their future quarterback. At some
I got to find the future.
Yeah.
You know, and if the future includes someone now, then we have a different conversation. If it includes someone that we draft, then you're probably going to be back.
Right.
And I'll assure you we'll do everything we can to make sure that you don't have to go through what you went through last year. And that's the best you can expect during a conversation like that.
You know, it's such a weird situation with the Giants. We talked about this yesterday. The Giant offense really played pretty well. I know they got shut out by Tennessee late in the season. This team scored more points than any team in the division. Which is,
don't say that.
Why not?
Because there are people that have a narrative going that the Giants didn't score enough points. And offense in the NFL wins games, and you got to score 35
in the first half of the year. They did in the first half, but
no,
second half of the games.
Yeah. But the narrative's still going, so you can't say that.
You even though that's the truth.
Things. Yeah, well.
Because to me, the defense is, and you've said it yourself a million times, the biggest issue this team has is the defense.
It's not even close.
No, I mean, but you got these people who want to, and look, I get it. If people don't like this quarterback, that's fine. But when the quarterback, whether you like him or not, gives you an opportunity to win, and he turns your defense the ball over with a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, all you need is a stop, and you can't get one, you look at the Carolina game. Carolina had to go, I think, 60-something yards, right? They had to go at least 40 to get in field goal range. Two plays, they're there. Your game is won. Your quarterback, well, not your quarterback, but your offense did its job.
Last week. How about last week?
Yeah. So.
Well, the offense had a chance to win the game, and they went 4 and out.
Sure.
I'm just saying, they scored 35 points. The defense is the biggest problem. We all admit that.
When did they hand the ball over? Did they have a lead when they handed the ball over?
Oh, no. Look, I don't think it's mutually exclusive, Carl, to say the defense is their biggest problem. Statement, fact, we all agree.
Yep.
And then say the offense had a chance to win the game.
To put the nail in the coffin.
And they went 4 and out. Like, that,
those
are both
facts. Put the nail in the
coffin,
that's
right.
Fair.
Okay.
And that's fair. I can say this with great certainty, that when you get paid to play defense, it's not normally, you don't make your bones when your team is just running away with a game. You make your bones with decisive plays.
Right.
Getting off the field. This team defensively has fallen way short of that. One play in particular.
Curtis Riley.
Yeah.
Call him out. What a joke that was.
Yeah. It was a DWI. For those who don't know in football terms, it's called don't want it.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, he didn't want it, man.
Business decision.
It wasn't even a business decision.
Right.
I've seen him make better business decisions and make it look like effort. That was one of those, I want nothing to do with this. Don't want it. And when you have that on the field in an important game to your team, you can't have that and call you and not say it's your defense is just did okay. Defense is horrible.
They have
no pass rush.
They have so many holes on this defense.
Sure.
They have to redo the secondary. I'd bring back Landon Collins in a second. The idea of move on from Landon Collins, yeah, you got to replace him.
You gotta
replace. You already have enough holes.
Yeah, you got to replace two safeties at that point.
Well, no kidding. And Olivier Vernon, I get he's probably gone because of a cap reasoning, but you got to replace him too. You need guys that can get to the quarterback.
You got to generate pass rush.
Absolutely.
You have to generate pass rush. And, you know, for those who say, well, the defensive backs were under too much duress because they didn't have a pass rush, nonsense. They need a lot.
They need a lot
in a lot of areas. They have some young talent. I like Tomlinson, B.J. Hill.
Lorenzo
Carter,
yep.
Ogletree I like. I think B.J. Goodson will get better. I think he knows how to find the football, naturally find the football. When he overthinks it is when he's out of place. But they need to add pieces. And even if it's, you take a guy like B.W. Webb, right? He's a starting cornerback. Does he belong on the NFL team? Sure.
Not as a starter, I don't think.
Exactly. But he showed you that he can play.
Sure.
Right? It's just that when you need very good cornerback play, he's not the guy, but he's giving you everything he has. Now, if he had to be in an auxiliary role as a, slot corner or a fourth corner on the field, he's going to be your guy. He can make There's just too many holes for anyone to say that this defense wasn't the cause of a lot of these defeats.
I think that it was weird because the first half of the season, I think the narrative, rightfully so, was the offensive line was awful. And Nate Solder got better in the second half of the year. They got rid of Eric Flowers. Sure. They got rid of Omame. I thought that was a great move by Gettleman, sure. Basically admitting, hey, I screwed up by signing this guy.
No scholarships.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of him.
Yep.
And obviously, Jamon Brown becomes available. They add him. In the second half.
They got to re-sign him, too.
They do. They should, yeah. I would think.
Yeah.
But the second half of the year, it was the defense more than anything because, like you guys have said, they scored points. They scored a lot of points outside of the one game they got shut out in.
Yeah, I mean, when it was the offense, you could say, well, the offense was too many three and outs and it kept the defense on the field too long. You can make that argument in the first half season. But I think the curtains got pulled back when the offense got better. You could see exactly what was going on because there's no rule that says defense can't get off the field in a three and out either. And, you know, if you have a team that consistently gives up big plays in the middle of the field, seam routes, and you can't figure out how to cover it, it's either coaching or it's talent. And I looked up, and no disrespect, but when you have Stupar as your middle linebacker in a crucial situation and he watches the guy run right by him, that's talent. Sure, he probably knew what to do, just couldn't get it done. But that tells you got to have better players on the field. And if that's the best that you could put out there at that time, then that tells you got to avoid.
Yeah, they need better players
they
on
do.
Defense.
Yeah.
I think it's simple.
Yeah.
I think we all agree, this whole Eli debate, bringing him back, whatnot. Here's one thing we all agree on. Eventually, they have to find their long-term answer.
That's the reality.
Right, that's the reality.
That is the reality. So let's, whether it's – they're going to find one this year. They're going to find.
You're confident they draft a quarterback.
Are they gonna draft
they're going to find Eli's replacement this year. He may not replace Eli this year,
right?
But they'll find his replacement this year.
When you say that, though, do you say that as they're going to draft his replacement, or are they going to try to bring in a guy that's already been in the league to be?
I don't know because the draft has so many moving parts, and then behind the Giants are teams that need quarterback help as much as the Giants do.
Sure.
Ahead of the Giants, there's probably one team, and that's if they decide they want to move on from Derek Carr.
Right, right.
But if there's a guy who's young, who's on a roster right now, he may come in, and that may be the guy they feel that can be Eli's replacement.
Don't you think, though, that other than that, so you're saying like a backup on a team that already has an established quarterback, a young guy, but of the free agents, if you add any of those guys, they're replacing Eli Manning now. I don't think you're signing a guy to be his backup.
I'm telling you, well, I don't know what that means. I know what it means when you say it.
But what do you?
But if you bring a guy in and he's on a roster right now and he's a younger player, he's Eli's replacement if they don't draft a guy.
Well,
for now.
He could replace Eli week one.
That doesn't mean he's a long-term guy.
Right, but he's going to replace. He could replace him week one.
Right.
Or he could replace him next year.
But their
replacement will, there's somebody that's going to be tabbed a replacement, even if it's a placeholder, until they get a guy in the draft that they want.
Do you believe there's a guy available, realistically available, that would be better right now than Eli Manning, where you'd say, move on from Eli, bring this guy
in? Who's available?
Nick Foles is available.
Joe Flacco.
Neither one of those guys are available.
No, they are. They're going to be
available.
They're
going to be
available. They will be available.
Let's have the conversation when they're available.
Let's take
Flacco, for instance,
okay.
Right?
He's not even starting.
Let's take Flacco, for instance.
Right.
Because he's not starting, and with his salary may be a liability to the team.
Correct. Yes.
But they got a rookie who's on a rookie deal. Let's just say this kid flames out, all right? What's your alternative behind him?
Well, I think you're handing him the keys. No, I think you're handing him the keys.
They're test driving right now.
If he gets hurt in this playoff game, I think you're right. If he gets out of it healthy and encouraging.
They're test driving right now. Here's what's required in the NFL. It takes a body of work, not four or five games.
Okay.
It takes, let me tell you, for as exciting as this kid is, he's damn exciting, exhilarating to watch.
He's fun
right?
to watch, yeah.
Can he pass the ball?
I think he can. I think he will.
You think he will?
I think he will, yes.
You think he will?
I do believe that, yes.
You think he will?
I think so.
You think he will?
Yes.
This day, right now, is he even a better passer than Marcus Mariota?
The guy's played in the NFL for 5 minutes. But he's also a won a Heisman.
Wait. So did Tim Tebow. Yeah. But,
oh, come on. But don't compare them.
I'm not. But you threw the Heisman out there. I'm not saying that he won't be a hell of an NFL quarterback because I love watching him. I'm talking about right now, 4 games, 5 games in, if you're evaluating over in the scouting pro personnel area at the Ravens, you're either going to say, I've seen enough and he's our guy, let's move on, or we're not sure and you go tell management, I'm not sure. And if you've got a new coach coming in, what does he think?
Okay. Fair enough. You know what? Then
you see what I'm saying? These are all the variables that come into play. And you can say, well, we can keep. Maybe we'll ask Joe to take a pay cut, and if he doesn't, he's a free agent. But you gotta evaluate what you see in 4 games, and you say, yep, I think we can get him where he needs to be. But who's gonna be our coach, and does that new coach?
No, and I think that's a big factor. Yeah. But let me. Okay, then I'll give you a guy who will be a free agent. Okay. Teddy Bridgewater. Do you think he gives the Giants a better chance to win next year than Eli Manning?
No.
Okay. Is there any free agent quarterback you feel that
about? Give me the free agents and I'll tell you.
Well, I want to go back to Nick Foles because I am curious.
Let me be clear.
Yes.
I am not sitting here saying that there's nobody that's out there that wouldn't give the Giants a better chance. I just need to know who those legitimate candidates are.
Okay, so there's a $20 million mutual option for Nick Foles. It's very unlikely, unless the Eagles win the Super Bowl or something crazy, he's going to be a free agent. It's very likely. Let's say it's 80%. Is that a fair number? Maybe 90%.
Ah.
If Nick Foles is a free agent,
you'd have to consider him.
Do you think he gives the Giants a better chance to win than Eli? Him. Is that your way of saying yes?
You'd have to consider
him. You think he gives them a better chance to win than Eli?
You have to consider him.
You'd have to consider him.
And how do you take that?
That you, you know.
You would have to consider him.
I think you believe that. That's fine.
Remember, he's also 8 years younger than
you.
Here's what I do.
Yeah.
I put them both in a camp.
Yeah.
I put them both in the camp.
So you go, okay.
I think. Listen, I'm not ruling that out. Let me put it that way. Now, so Nick Foles is one candidate. I will agree with you on.
Okay.
Now let me.
I'm not agreeing.
Now
I'm
let
asking.
Me play. No, that I would say, bring him in.
Okay.
Now, here's what I would say as devil's advocate. Here are some variables there. They got a quarterback with a back issue, right? He's an aggressive quarterback, not available.
Talk about Wentz now.
Yeah, not available for the second year. Right, to finish the season.
Mm-hmm.
Most important position in football. Are they comfortable that Wentz is going to be okay?
No, I think it's a financial thing. I don't think they're going to be able to pay him.
They were able to pay who? They won't be able to pay Foles?
Yeah, because Foles is going to want to start. I think Nick Foles is going to, and that's maybe the issue with him ever coming to the Giants. He's going to want to play.
Listen,
will
he want to start, or is he okay where he is now? And they can franchise him or do whatever. Is he okay being in the role he is in?
Can I throw another name at you?
No. Let's talk Foles for a second.
You already gave your answer.
No. Let's talk.
Can I say he gives him a better chance to win than Eli?
Let me throw this in about Foles. Foles right now, let's be honest, he's in basically a no-lose situation.
Exactly.
He is in a no-lose situation.
Oh, he comes to New York with tons of pressure if he came
But
here.
In Philadelphia, he's a god already.
Yes.
Now he's got him into the playoffs. So like Carl says, maybe he's happy being in that role because he's in a no-lose situation.
Oh, he'll make a ton of money.
I don't know.
Listen, he's a competitor.
I understand that.
Wanting to play and being a competitor is great, but are the Eagles ultimately hold the cards? There's no reason.
They both do.
No. Let me just tell you why. The Eagles can make him an offer he can't refuse.
Sure.
It's their money. Remember that, right? And if they feel, hey, I want to give this guy $15 million to stay another year.
Right.
I want him. He's familiar with us. We're familiar with him, and we love you, Nick. Here's $15 million and a bonus if you hit certain times.
Right. Okay. It's possible.
No pressure.
That's why I said 80%.
No pressure. Because an owner can make that decision, especially in a league where a quarterback is vital.
Especially with that situation they're in, like you pointed out.
They're not in the playoffs if Foles not on that roster. I can tell you right now, they don't get into the playoffs.
No, definitely not.
If Foles is not on that roster. And if you're trying to continuously win in this league, owners make decisions based on, you know, ask Jerry Jones. You know, some of his decisions on, you know, keeping his coach this long when everybody said he should have gotten rid of him.
Right.
Sticking by whatever players he wants to stick by. He does it because he's the owner. I'm telling you, the Eagles management, their ownership can look at this and say, I can't live without him.
Right.
You know, I may not need him, but guess what? I've needed him for the last 2 years, and he's come through for me.
Yeah.
Why do I want to see that go out the door? Owners can make that decision. I don't know what their free agent situation looks like, what their salary cap situation looks like, but that owner can call down to that coach and say, listen, I'm making Foles an offer.
And it's a part of Nick being accepting of that role because he could say, I want to start, man. I've earned my right. I want a Super Bowl. I just got into the playoffs.
He's been a starter in this league before,
too.
He's been a very successful one.
And he had success.
And he's been he has had not so much success with the Rams.
You intrigued me because you said, you know, because our reaction is drafting a quarterback. You could pluck somebody off another roster as their future quarterback. What did you think of Nick Mullins? He's 23 years old. He started half the games for San Francisco. In San Francisco, you saw him. He's 23.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, you can ask me.
See, we're not talking about safeties and running backs and corners and offensive linemen.
Right.
Talking about the most important position in football.
Absolutely.
So they just paid $100 million for a guy who got hurt. The next guy that came in was very exciting for them. Are they interested in letting him walk out the door?
Oh, you're taking the easy way out.
No. I'm gonna sit in a chair of today's NFL owner.
Right.
Right? Where you watch your quarterback walk out the door and your season is down the drain if you don't have anything behind him, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Now you got these young kids who are sitting there that are not taking up much of your salary cap. Why can't you be selfish?
You're not wrong. I'm not saying the Niners would trade
Nick
Mullins.
Why can't you be selfish?
I'm merely throwing it out there as a possibility of a way the Giants.
There's a deal waiting to be made on every team.
And they'd want a lot back, I bet. I bet you they'd want.
Exactly.
I'm not saying they wouldn't.
Exactly. Now, the question you ask yourself after five games, is he worth giving up everything to be the next guy? Do you see him on his five games? Is that enough of a sampling to say, yep, he's the guy that can lead my team? Those are questions, legitimate questions. I'm not dodging, but I'm telling you, in the business world of the NFL right now,
right,
when owners are watching their guys go down and their season go down with it, and then you see teams that have these exciting backup quarterbacks, whether they drafted them or they found them some other way, do you really think they want to part? Unless they can get a haul for them? I'm not giving away a 23-year-old.
Carl, I don't think you're wrong. Because Garoppolo's got to prove he's healthy. I'd want to keep him.
Let me tell you why. There's a guy named Jeff Hostetler who was angry as hell that he couldn't get an opportunity, but they wasn't giving him up. They kept him.
But
they kept both guys.
Not in Mullins' case, but eventually you sort of have to.
Well, eventually you have to, but you don't have to until you have
to. And they don't have to. I agree with
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
I think the Eagles are going to have to.
All these scenarios.
I think they're going to have to.
If the owner says to their coach, I lost this guy twice, and now he's got a back situation, will this back be a lingering thing? He's an aggressive player.
I get your point, but they're going to have to pay him a ton of money.
An owner can decide to pay whoever he
wants. But there's a salary cap.
I don't know what their salary cap situation is, but I know what the most important position in football is.
Hey, in a perfect world, they'd keep him. I agree
with
you.
Well, they can make it a perfect world.
It's tough in this day and age.
Well, you know what?
It's not as tough in San Francisco.
Listen,
I agree.
It's tougher when you watch your season go down the drain.
Sure.
Than if you got a guy that you know. They can make – listen, I'm not a Nick Mullins agent, advocate, or whatever, and I would say go get as much money as possible. But if there's something about Philadelphia that he loves and they make him the highest paid backup, they don't have a quarterback issue. The quarterback's on his rookie contract.
But to summarize, you believe the Giants will add their future quarterback this offseason.
Yeah. Now, how long that future is, it may be until the next guy comes around, but
right.
I don't think they're going to walk into the season with Eli Manning and Kyle Lauletta
as their
quarterback group. The next guy will be the next guy until something better comes along.
Joe and I both agree on this. And you basically said it based on the need for quarterback in this league. If they want Haskins, who's the number one quarterback available in this draft, I think he is. Maybe Daniel Jones will jump him.
Sure.
They're going to have to trade up. I don't think they're getting him at six.
Well, I tell you what, there are a lot of people that, like I said, a lot of people behind the Giants that need quarterbacks.
Yeah. That will jump.
Listen,
right.
And that's why I said this year's draft with a slim crop of quarterbacks, it'll be like a game of Frogger. Remember the game of Frogger where you got to jump to get across the street? They'll be jumping over each other to try to get in position to draft this kid.
Keep this in mind. Let's use Nick Mullens as an example. I don't know what he would be, by the way. I can't tell you. Just like we don't really know what Daniel Jones or Dwayne Haskins would be. The cost of trading for Nick Mullens will be far less than trading up in this draft. Yeah, because if the Giants wanted to jump from 6 to 2 or 6 to 3, the track record of NFL history says they're going to have to give up multiple twos, maybe even a first-round pick.
Well, then maybe they'll say, listen, he's good. But I think we can wait. Let's go get a free agent quarterback.
Or you trade a three
for a
guy like Mullens or something.
Sure. Sure. I mean, there are so many variables that come into play, but I know in this day and age of the NFL how important the quarterback is and how often they're getting hurt now.
Yeah, man.
And you can't – listen, when you've got aggressive quarterbacks and this guy is now – he's 2 for 2 with injuries.
Yep.
You may want to backstop that. And the best backstop in sport in football right now
is Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. And so
he is.
It's just the reality. You look at some of these quarterbacks, the Texans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their quarterback missed games this year.
No, he played this year.
No, Watson
last
played
year
all
he
year.
Missed half.
Last year he got hurt.
Right. You know, he had the big injury, the lung or whatever, the collapse of lung deal where he had to travel on a bus or something.
Right, but he played.
But he gets banged up.
Right.
Right? Mariota.
Yeah, Mariota's always hurt. He's hurt all the time.
Same thing, right?
As Wentz, he's hurt all the time.
Listen, they're fun, they're exciting, they're aggressive. And it's when they're out there, your best chance to win is them. When they're not, it comes down to how can you coach without them?
And the interesting thing, like I said it to about Foles, is that he is a god in Philadelphia. I mean, he can do no wrong in Philadelphia, whereas, like you said, if he went to the Giants, now the pressure's on him. Hey, you better win now. You know, it's a little different feeling for him.
And he's been in that position when he was with the Rams.
Right, right.
And that wasn't a great situation for him.
No.
Listen, if you ask me if Foles was available, would I bring him in? Absolutely. 100%.
Right.
And
right.
Who's starting?
Well, they're going to both be in camp.
He'd
have an open competition.
Wow, you think Eli'd be cool with that?
He's 38.
I know how old he is. I'm asking if he'd be cool
something.
With that.
I know Eli Manning is a very competitive guy, and he also knows reality. So if it's a competitive situation, so be it.
Do you think he would rather be in a competitive situation where he's not guaranteed a starting job with the Giants or guaranteed a starting job in Jacksonville or Miami or something?
You have to ask his wife that one.
What do you think?
You'd have to ask his wife.
I'd have to ask his wife.
Ask his wife that one. He's got a family, you know.
No, I understand
and
that.
He's set. Roots. I think he wants to be a Giant. I think he'll retire if he can't.
I think that too.
And I hope most Giant fans feel this way. I have no issue with whatever he wants. If he said, you know what, I don't want a competitive situation. I want to start.
Yeah,
I don't blame him.
That's
fine. He's
won
two championships. In my opinion, he's a Hall of Famer.
Look,
he can do what he wants at this point.
At 38, if they say the job is yours until you lose it, but this is the guy that you're competing with,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'll look at it and say, okay, I'm pretty confident in what I can do. And if he gets beat out, he'll say, okay, fine.
But what if what happens to Kurt Warner happens to him? Kurt Warner didn't lose the quarterback's job.
Kurt Warner was a placeholder and he knew it.
Exactly. Would he be cool with that?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
but here's the thing about placeholders.
There's a difference between losing a job and that.
Here's the thing about placeholders, right? Because when Aaron Rodgers was on the bench, he was a placeholder too. He was the heir apparent. But the other guy was lighting it up so much. They couldn't get him in.
It took a while.
It wasn't like Kurt Warner was his glory days now. He was a good quarterback, but
you're right.
Wasn't like he was lighting it up with the greatest show on turf. So if your starter is playing well, the heir apparent is still the heir apparent. He just doesn't get his time until it happens. So, look, it's 38. It is what it is.
Right.
If he's got to compete and he doesn't want to, God bless him.
Yeah, no problem.
You know, and if he says, okay, bring your guy in. I know what I can do. And if apples to apples and my conditions are right, I'll show you what I can do. You can't ask for any more than that as a 38-year-old.
Quickly on these games. Indy, Houston, what do you think?
If Indy's healthy, I'm picking all the road teams. I don't know why. It's improbable
that
they'll all win.
You're picking every road team. So you're picking the Colts, you're picking
the Seahawks. If
the Colts
are healthy, I'm picking them. The Seahawks, I believe, will win.
The Chargers and the Eagles.
The Eagles are my team that's going to be the most disruptive in this playoffs.
No, I could see it.
And I'm going to be wrong. I don't know if we've ever had a wild card weekend where every road team wins. But this is one I think if the Colts are healthy, that's the only one I think that's iffy, the Colts. Everybody else I like on the road.
Interesting.
Those are the keys to these games and the keys to the Giant quarterback and offseason.
And the key to the Jet coaching situation,
which
too.
Which he nailed.
Hey, listen. Brilliantly did
hey,
you
honey,
do.
We pick the furniture we like. We're going to get it. I don't want to waste time in this store around.
Call.
It gets crowded at 8:30. We're going to be there.
You know what, Carl? I may put one of your jerseys amongst all my Jet paraphernalia downstairs.
Yeah, honey, we're going to get this sofa. One left.
How I wish you owned the team, Carl. Wish that.
I think they can't get cute with this.
Well, they can't, but they are the Jets.
And they can be cute sometimes.
Yes.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, guys.
Those keys to the game and the off seasons were sponsored by your Tri-State Kia dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.